This is Talk Star Wars,
the official podcast at talkstarwars.co.uk.
Oi, oi, Savaloy. Welcome back to Talk Star Wars, the only Cockney Star Wars podcast on the planet, apparently. I'm Mark.
And I'm Rob, the old China.
No Steve this week. He's bunking off.
Shameless.
Yeah, don't worry about it. There's nothing
I've got
wrong.
Every reason to give him crap because I'm back this week.
Yeah, Rob is back, fortunately, so at least I'm not single-handing this one.
solo podcasting's a rough game.
Top of the show, Rob. Happy birthday. Your birthday
thank you very
week
much.
This week.
Thank you very much. Thank you to yourself, and thank you to the lovely Talk Star Wars listeners who wished me happy birthday as well. I had a few. It was very humbling.
People rallied around you, weren't there?
Yeah, it's very nice.
I won't pressure you to mention a number.
But I can tell you if you want. Sorry,
no,
I'm 32.
It will make me feel bad.
I'm 32.
Yeah, I remember it well.
No big deal. 32. No. 32 is fine. I can live with 32.
Happy birthday. Now, you just said you were away last weekend.
I was, yeah. I went on I was at a stag do in Budapest for a friend of mine at work. Oh, it's brilliant. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely beautiful country, Hungary. If you've got any Hungarian listeners, they'll know what I'm talking about. If they've got anybody who's been to Hungary, they'll know what I'm talking about too, because it is just stunning.
Yeah.
And, you know, we did pretty well considering we're all kind of in our late 20s, early 30s and beyond. We all kind of kept a pretty good schedule, a good mix of partying and serenity.
Yeah. Well, if you're anything like me, I'd party hard until sort of 8 p.m. and then turn it in with a hot cup of cocoa.
No, we managed half eight because we knew it was a special occasion.
Dirty stop outs.
I know. No, we did the 6 a.m. walk of shame. That was something else. twice in a row as well.
Oh, dear me.
That was grim.
You brave lot.
We even got. There was a big group of, I'm guessing, German tourists outside the hotel, and we got a kind of morgue and in that sort of knowing.
Oh yeah.
Hello, sailors.
Not quite like that, hopefully.
Not quite like that, no.
Right, let's jump into a few of these bits, shall we? Sure. We've got no in memoriam. I'm trying to steer away from that. I'm going to put everything in the news section, announcement section, okay. So we can cover good news as well as bad news. So this week, at the top of our little list in announcements is a welcome to Kyle and Corey, our good friends from Tumbling Sabre. They've just joined our little Facebook community.
Oh, lovely.
Which I'm rather pleased with.
It's growing. It's nice.
It's growing. And they are welcome additions. They're really cool guys.
Absolutely. They are.
I enjoyed their show this week. Have you heard their latest podcast?
I'm about 40, just under halfway through. I'm about halfway through the interview.
Yeah. Oh, the interview is very interesting.
It's good. It's really good. It's really... I wonder if they've met before because they're very natural chemistry together.
Yeah, I don't think that's not. I didn't get the impression. I thought that was the first time they may have spoken.
Oh, really? Because yeah. Carl's very good like that. He's very good.
I enjoyed that. Yeah, and I did have to bail out at the end of their show though because they started discussing spoilers for Bloodline.
Yep.
And I'm about 79% in. You're reading it, are you?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I started reading it on the plane out, but I only got about 30% through, so I'm still early days. But it's really good from what I've read so far.
Oh, I'm loving it.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I really like it. It really brings back sort of memories of classic expanded universe Leia. You know, back to being very sort of defiant, very spunky.
I really liked
character.
It. Yeah, she hasn't been. I don't know if she's ever been this well defined.
No, it's really quite, you know, they've given her a lot of good depth.
Yeah, I love, I've never read anything by Claudia Gray before.
I feel like I have.
Lost Stars is her last Star Wars project, and that's on my wish list for Audible. It's not in the UK Audible store at the moment.
No, they're a little bit slower to get the ones in the UK store, but when they do, they're fantastic because they're such high production values,
really
music, really excellent voice acting. Just in general, very, very good.
Yeah, I'm a bit frustrated that it's not available for me, but I'll go back when it does pop on there. I will go back and pick that up. I think
it would be nice.
Sorry.
In fact, if anybody from Audible is listening, here's a feature you could add: The ability to add books to a wish list from US Audible so that when they come available in the UK, you can get a notification. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that's a good idea, actually. And also, if you want to sponsor a podcast about Star Wars, you know where we are. Because I do blow a lot of smoke their way because I really enjoy the service.
It's brilliant. It's excellent.
I just finished How Star Wars Conquered the Universe.
I saw you were reading that. How is it?
It's amazing. It's really good. And everything you've just listed as qualities, the production value is there. The guy reading the book is absolutely superb. The it's almost like a, it's I want to call it a documentary, really, because it is. It's a historical document, essentially.
Yeah.
And it's this chap that's breaking down Lucas's career. It goes way back through. I mean, if you're a Star Wars fan, you know 90% of it because it's all been covered before, either in varied Star Wars publications or in Easy Riders, Raging Bulls.
Yeah.
Those sort of things. If you've got any interest in cinema of the 70s, you'll be fully aware of everything he did. But to have it all laid out beautifully in this book, it's just astonishing. It's 20 hours worth of audiobook as well.
That's impressive.
I didn't get a lot else done this week because trying to cram that in. And obviously I started Bloodline at the same time.
Yes.
So, yeah, I did recommend to a couple of listeners that book because I tweeted out when I completed it and people are asking exactly what you did, how is it? And I said, this great. And I was directing people to our site. So if you are interested in picking something like this up, you're not already an Audible user. If you go to the Talk Star Wars homepage, talkstarwars.co.uk, you'll see on the right-hand side of the screen an Audible banner. If you click on that, you can get a 30-day free trial and a free book.
So nice.
You can have that on us.
It's a good start, that. I can't remember what my first book was for Audible. It's a while ago now.
Mine was a Star Wars one. It was Heir to the Jedi, and I didn't finish it.
I remember that one.
They changed it for me.
Yeah, there was some good. There's some good bits in that book, but not enough of the good bits because you've read it. You've read a good chunk of it, haven't you?
I was 3 hours short of finishing, but I just found it. It just didn't feel like Star Wars to me.
Yeah, I wanted a whole book based on the bit where they were exploring a planet where aliens dropped on people's heads.
Yes,
remember that bit? That was brilliant. It was Star Wars horror. It was amazing.
Star Wars horror. That's a fantastic way of describing it. Yeah.
Yeah, I really wanted a book of that because they've done Star Wars horror in the Legends. They did there's one called Death Troopers, and then there's one called Red Harvest, and they're both about a sort of like mutating virus that turned people into zombies, and it's basically just zombie fiction in the Star Wars universe, but it's actually quite good. You know, it's one of those things you sound like, oh, here we go, zombies again. But I really quite enjoyed it.
Yeah. There's plenty of stuff out there.
Now,
with the reset of canon, there's a lot of gear out there. But I just wonder whether or not it's going to get up to Claudia Gray's level, because her writing is exquisite.
She's got a really nice... She just gets Leia really right.
Yeah. And Castafo, the main, he's not really an antagonist, is he? But he's kind of, he has these antagonistic qualities. He to me, is so beautifully written. I can't, I don't know about you, but when I read that character, I just see Tom Hiddleston.
I can see that, actually. Yeah. Made me think of as well?
Go on.
Benicio del Toro.
Oh, really? Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Because that was my thinking, was that he was going to be a kind of, you know, that was my original, I think I wrote an insights about it. And my theory was that he might turn up as a, you know, a kind of a Republic general who's a bit of a git. You know, so he can play a complex character and a kind of bit of a weasel, maybe not a villain, not an out-and-out villain, but a bit more complex.
Yeah, I really like this. He is seriously complex, this character, isn't he?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So much going on in there. She's a great writer. I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, totally agree.
So check that out, so far, so good. Hopefully I'll have that finished. I might even finish it tonight. Depends how we get on here.
Yeah, fair enough.
The other thing you can find on our homepage as well as that Audible link is a new Star Wars TV show that started on YouTube called The Star Wars Show.
I saw the ad for it. What is it about? Is it a...
This is like a really short format news show produced at, produced at Lucasfilm in San Francisco, with one of my favorites, Andy Gutierrez, who did the Rebels Recon on their YouTube channel. She was also live on the red carpet at the Force Awakens premiere.
Oh,
in the UK.
I know her. Yeah,
she's amazing. She is good. She's really lovely. She's really like got such energy. I mean, it exhausts me watching her, thinking where does she get all that from? But she's great. She's really enthusiastic. She's got a co-host who's I have to apologize. I can't remember his name, but he was a really nice guy. Yeah.
Is it Duncan? No, not Duncan.
No, it's not, because Duncan was a guest on this show, is what inspired that poll I ran today, which we'll go
I voted in that. Yeah,
I saw that. We'll go through the results in a minute. But yeah, I really like the show. I think it's going to be quite interesting. Some of the items in our news section this evening come from there. Very interesting. But I thought I'll drop the Rogue One trailer off the homepage. I thought no better place for that Star Wars show than there.
Yeah, why not?
So if you go to talkstarwars.co.uk, top of the page, there it is. Worth your support. It's very interesting.
Totally.
Okay. iTunes reviews, there were none this week, but then I have been having trouble accessing them to read them.
Yeah, it's a funny thing. I'm not seeing all the ones that you're talking about because I listened to the show last week, obviously, because I'm a good supportive listener and host.
Yes, indeed.
I had a listen to the episode and you mentioned a review and I went on and I couldn't see it.
Was that the one that I said was from Corey?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to switch stores.
He sent
me a message saying he'd left the review, and if I wanted to see it, I had to go on, because most of what I do on iOS devices, but apart from when I'm editing videos and whatever. And then I jumped over onto the main iTunes store on my Mac and switched up locales, and there it was. Sitting there looking at me. So I checked some of the other stores as well, because we do quite well in the iTunes store in Bulgaria, of all places. So hello
to our Bulgaria.
Bulgarian listeners, thank you very much for your support. We were number 32 in the Bulgarian iTunes TV and film charts.
That's awesome.
Which is just ridiculous, isn't it?
That's incredible. Number 32 in Bulgaria. I'm going to have that on my gravestone.
That's weird, isn't it? I was sent to this website that you can put in the put in the feed, and then it tells me, gives me a map of the world and tells me where we're most downloaded and things like that, and then tells me chart positions and things. I couldn't believe that. Number 32 is ridiculous.
Yeah, no,
102 overall. So... That's
thank you, Bulgaria.
Bad, thank you, Bulgaria.
It's like that Talk Eurovision, isn't it?
Yeah, Talk Eurovision.
Bulgaria, 32 points.
All right. Our new section, we dropped the email section. We're going to go to listener comms now because things are coming in thick and fast from all sorts of areas. And you're going to do the honours, aren't you, Rob?
I am indeed. I'm going to sub in for Steve this week.
Okay, take it away, mate.
This is from Ads at Adshilia. Hello, Ads. The important stuff, obviously, in a Hunger Games-style forest arena, who wins? So he's given us five options to choose from. We've got Wicket, Chewie, R2-D2, Boba Fett. Well, it says Boba F, but I assume it means Boba Fett. And Han. What do you think?
I think Wicket all the way.
Wicket? Okay.
Yeah, Wicket.
You're
going to
go home field advantage, you're thinking, I guess.
Yeah, of course.
I see. Interesting.
And they are more ferocious than I think we give them credit for, those Ewoks.
I think they're vicious little S-words. And I reckon they fight dirty as well. They fight dirty and all.
Yeah, dirty.
Tell you what.
Filthy little monkeys.
Tell you what, mate. Whew.
Do you think Ads really means Boba Fett when he says Boba F?
Yeah, I think... who else is there?
Boba Franklin. I don't know, like a cousin. Distant cousin. He's a librarian. He wouldn't stand a chance. He doesn't have any weapons.
I just work Saturday. I'm only bounty hunting on the side.
I like that, though. What a great Hunger Games-style forest arena.
It's a brilliant question because he's clearly given it a fantastic amount of thought, because not only has he thought of it in terms of a Hunger Games fight, he's also picked the battlefield. It's great.
I like the idea that he wakes up at 3 a.m. in a cold sweat thinking, forest arenas.
Forest arenas. Like, I've cracked it. Eureka! Right.
That's
so
great. Nice. Thanks, Ed.
Let's work it through, because I haven't actually come to a conclusion yet. So I'm going to say Chewbacca.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I reckon he's probably pretty good in the forest as well.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I mean, Kashyyyk is, you know, my understanding is it's still considered a very forest-heavy place.
Yeah.
Even though the description of it's largely kind of dripped out of canon, except the holiday, is the holiday special still canon?
No.
I was going to say.
No, that's like S-level canon, that is.
Thank God for that.
Yeah, thank God. Yeah, no, I mean, they're still quite technologically savvy, aren't they, the Wookiees? And all you got to do, apparently, is throw some sort of monkey chicken in a net and Chewie's done for. So he's got a bit of a weakness.
He is easily bamboozled, I'll say that.
Yeah.
Definitely. Boba Fett, I don't see it.
No.
I reckon, like, logistically speaking, I reckon that helmet is probably visually quite impairing.
Yeah.
And actually, it's never really explored in much depth, but I think he probably struggles a bit with side-on view.
I know he's a fan favourite and everything, but what have we really seen him do?
Die like a daisy.
Exactly. With blind.
Although he didn't.
Blind
Han. Although he didn't die.
No,
I think it's been well established that he's still alive at this point.
Yeah. R2-D2 would be no good because of the terrain.
That's my thinking too. Yeah. I'm with you there. And Han, I mean, Han would be all right, but we've seen in Jedi, he's clumsy with twigs.
Yeah.
So I don't think he'd be very good at keeping himself incognito and hidden. I think he'd struggle.
And also, deep down, he's a real softie, so he would have to kill Wicket in order to win, and he's not going to do that.
No, this is true.
So Wicket is the out-and-out winner.
I think Wicket's probably the logical explanation. Wicket and Chewie are going to definitely be the final two, I reckon.
Yeah.
And I reckon, I mean, you know, having said that, watching Chewie pull Wicket's arms off would be worth the price of admission alone, wouldn't it? Cool. All right. That's excellent. Thanks for that, Ads.
Cheers, Ads.
Thank you for clearly giving that so much thought, because that's a fantastic question.
Yeah, I hope you can sleep better now.
Right, so we've got a playlist from D_P, and that's at dpalmer11. You know, he's asking if he knows about this playlist, and he says he's a big follower from Costa Rica. Awesome talks, guys. Keep it up. So we are properly international now. Yeah, this is fantastic.
That is really awesome. I was made up when I got that little message in a playlist. Out of interest, did you see what it is, Rob?
I didn't. No, what
it's,
is it?
It's Robot Chicken.
Robot, fantastic.
Star Wars Robot Chicken.
I love those sketches. Yeah, there's some fantastic bits in there.
I'll try. If I remember, I'll stick that link in the show notes so that people can head over and have a little look. But that's awesome.
Oh, my God, he's crying.
Yeah. Just thinking today, no one's ever done a Darth Sidious or a Emperor Palpatine Al Pacino mashup.
Oh, man.
And why is that? Why is Palpatino not a thing?
You've nailed that name as well.
Palpacino. It is.
Let me have a think on this.
You work on it, but whatever you do.
We need some new After Dark Side.
We do. We do. Whatever you do needs to end with ooh-ah.
Ooh-ah.
Anyway,
they definitely have to. Thinking of some of Pacino's dialogue that springs to mind, they definitely have to be After Dark Side intro.
Definitely have to be, yeah.
He's a blue chap.
I was mulling it over today. I was trying to write a clean joke for it. I thought, it's just going to have to be ooh-ah at the end of whatever he does.
Right, so thank you for that, D. Palmer.
That's, yes, thank you very much.
That made our entire week.
Yeah, it really did. It really did.
Right, our man Connor, here he is. So he's, I think he's submitted a question as well, right?
He did, and I've got to point something out when we get to the question, because I gave Leo a hard time last week.
Right, fair enough. Okay, here we go. So, from Connor at The Baldy Wookie. I still love that name. What about the Star Wars movies we'd like to see but we know will never happen? My choice is Shadows of the Empire. Good choice.
Good one.
Good choice. My one would be the Heir to the Empire, the Thrawn trilogy. Right. I would love to see that remade into an actual film, because those books are bloody fantastic, and Thrawn himself is such a compelling character.
Yeah.
I mean, I could happily settle for it as a Netflix-style one-off TV special, like a TV series thing, like they do with, you know, Daredevil and stuff. I realise that's got two seasons, but, you know, I'd happily take it as a sort of, you know, one TV series that covers the whole trilogy of books.
Yeah.
That'd be fine by me.
That would be cool.
What would your choice be?
Bloodline, definitely.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, nice.
Definitely. I was thinking about this earlier. And I thought, what could? Because I'm not that well versed in the expanded universe, even though now that's pretty much moot.
Okay.
But then I'm reading this book and I'm loving it. And Steve said something on last week's show about, is this going to be made into a film?
Yeah.
And I said, no, this is just filler, obviously, because they're free to do everything cross-media. And I thought, this is the answer to Connor's question. I would love to see this movie.
Based on what I've seen so far, it'd be great.
Yeah, oh, it would be fantastic. I've had chills reading this thing. So yeah. I would love to see that, but clearly that's never going to happen.
Hmm. Cool. Okay, so thank you for that, Connor.
Yeah, thank you, Connor. Good question.
Those are our responses. Yes, absolutely. From our man, Jeremy.
Yeah, our own Jeremy. Hello, Jeremy.
Who would Stephen have rather been killed off than Han if he hasn't gotten over it yet?
Yeah, it might have been an idea for me to have taken this one out and left it in for next week.
Well, we could speculate, couldn't we? Just who do you think he might have gone for?
Anybody and everybody. Nobody. In the prequels.
Nobody, my answer. If he was going to have a main established character death, he would have wanted it safe for episode 8. That's my feeling, is when it gets dark, when the tone gets darker.
Yeah, I think if he was put in a situation where he'd have to name somebody to die, I'm sure he would have said, well, bring Jar Jar in and then kill him.
Yeah. Just bring him back, like, me sad it, but stab.
That's it, yeah. But perhaps
gets glassed.
We should put that to Steve next week, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. That's my prediction, though. My prediction is nobody. So take that to the bank.
Yeah, you're on.
All right, cool. DSTM at Real DSTM1 asks, I want to watch Star Wars. Where should I begin?
Yeah, I recommended starting the films in release order with 77's A New Hope. How would you go about that for a new?
I would say that's absolutely fine. That's good by me. Some people like Machete Order, and I sort of see where I see it. But the thing about Machete Order, are you familiar with Machete Order?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
I'm right in thinking it's 4, 5. 4, 5, 2, 3, 6, right?
Yeah, and drop Phantom Menace.
Drop out Phantom Menace. Mm. Now, my personal feeling is that Phantom Menace is not as bad as Attack of the Clones, but that's neither here nor there. The thing I find objectionable about that is that relies very heavily on somebody having seen the films before, because you lose that kind of mystery around the other, you know, the other person who's strong in the Force.
Yes.
You lose that completely because you know it has to be Leia. Because it's the end of episode 3.
That I've heard somebody, it was Sam Witwer, actually. I've mentioned him on this podcast before, who he plays Pal Pacino in Star Wars Rebels and Darth Maul in just about everything.
Galen Starkiller as well, right?
That's right, yeah. He did a screening for a friend of his. And this guy had never seen Star Wars before, so they sat him down and they played him the movies in the Machete Order, but I think they included Phantom Menace, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
And it worked beautifully for him because
when
he got to Empire, when he got to, hang on.
Jedi,
and they started talking about like the sister, he said, hang on, pause this, and they paused it, and he went, it's Leia. And then he said, is this how you found out? It's really lame. But because they'd set it up with the other two films and he'd had this huge gap between watching Empire and Jedi where they'd watched 6 hours or four hours of movie, it depended on whether or not they dropped Phantom Menace, he'd had this huge build-up towards it. And then he'd seen the twins born and all that sort of stuff. So it made sense. So you're preserving that one secret.
Yeah.
You're preserving the I am your father. But you're giving away, you're kind of seeding the Leia thing, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's an interesting experiment. It's something you and I are never going to be able to get an objective point of view on, is it?
True, yeah, but it's one of those things about spoilers in general that just drives me nuts. There are some people who just stop worrying about spoilers once they've seen it.
Yeah.
And it just seems to me like, well, that's not how other people's fun works. You know what I mean? You know, yeah. you should be more conscious of these things. And this is a pro tip for any listeners listening, because that's what you're best at, I think, listening and contributing, clearly.
Yeah.
But if you've got somebody who's never seen a particular film, Star Wars is the example we're using, obviously, but even something like Usual Suspects or something like that, I think it's difficult to appreciate how much those pieces of story impact for somebody who's never seen it before and is just absent from pop culture in their minds. It's easy to forget. So just don't keep that in mind, yeah. You know, and just be good to each other.
Yeah, just remember when I experienced Sixth Sense, I went in completely cold.
That's perfect.
Yeah, it really landed for me.
Yeah, I've never seen it, but I know the ending, and as a result, I'm not bothered.
Yeah,
about seeing it, and I'm sure it's a really good movie. I've heard it's good, but I've got no interest because it's been sort of deflated for me by the fact that I won't get that.
Yeah, you'll be robbed of that. There's plenty there still to take from it, I think.
Yeah,
it's probably not the masterpiece that say A Usual Suspects is, no. But it is an interesting exercise in writing and. That bombshell is great, especially when you don't know you're waiting for one. But now Sixth Sense is synonymous with having a twist ending, so it's, you're always going to be trying to guess it, you know?
Yeah, as is Shyamalan, really.
Yeah, you know? Well, yeah, he's a one-trick pony, isn't he?
Well, pretty much two or three at a push.
Yeah.
All right, okay. Moving on. So a reaction to last week's show where Steve commented that he would love to see the prequels remade and predicted that they would be so. Kyle at Tumbling Saber, friends of the show and members of the Star Wars Commonwealth, long may it rain.
Amen.
Replied back with, no way will they ever remake the prequel. 0% chance, in my opinion.
I agree.
I'm with him on that one. Yeah, yeah, I don't think they will. I think the prequels are often derided, but at the same time, one thing that was always clear about Seven, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, that is a fan service love for the series movie. Yeah. And one thing you don't do when you have fan service and love for the series is remake something from that series. Even if people were saying they want it, even if they are, they don't necessarily doesn't necessarily mean that that's true.
No,
they don't necessarily always want what they say they want until they, especially when they get it.
Exactly, that's the argument I've been making about the original versions on Blu-ray. People don't want it because if you've seen the original versions, there's cardboard cutouts at the end in the palace during the medal presentation, and they are so obvious. Even on a DVD, I've got the DVD, which is the port across of the Laserdisc, the original.
I've got those, And in fact, actually, speaking of Tumbling Saber, I sent Kyle links to those on Amazon because he was saying on his show that he didn't seem to know they existed. So I sent him an email with them in, and we had a bit of a chat about the price of them because they were extortionate.
Really?
They were like $200+ each.
That's ridiculous.
Unreal, isn't it?
That is.
Obviously, I'd happily lend them to him, but they're region two, so that's no good.
No.
Blu-ray is not so bad, but DVDs, they're strict on those region codes.
They're really rough quality as well. I mean, they're not
I've heard this,
DVD quality. They're dreadful, but on a large screen, you can still make out that those guys in the foreground are cardboard cutouts.
That's amazing.
And I played it for Steve here one night when he came round. He wasn't happy. So you got when people say they want the originals, they really don't. What they want is a lesser version of what we've actually got right now, a tempered version of the special editions. That's what they really want.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Right. So.
Oh yeah,
you had a reply to this one, didn't you? An addendum.
Yes.
Which is so. Do you want me to read it, or do you want to read it?
Yeah. No. This is actually he followed. This is Kyle again. So he followed up his first tweet about how he didn't think there was. He thought there was 0% chance.
Yeah.
With as much as I disagree with this is Kyle. As much as I disagree, I'm glad Steven stuck to his take. If we all agreed, our world would be a boring place, and I couldn't agree with that more.
No, it wouldn't. I'm joking.
Cool. So you do agree.
All right, moving on. Sorry.
Boring place.
So, moving on. So we had a comment from Jeremy on your piece on Talk Star Wars, right?
That's right, yeah, on the welcome,
welcoming Alden Ehrenreich to the Star Wars family, saying, let's hope for a series of good movies. Is he scruffy looking enough? That's a great question.
It is a good question. I think he's perfect.
I think he's good. I think, to be honest, I've warmed to him more since it's been confirmed. Before, I think I was saying Jack Rayner, but now I could totally go for it now.
Yeah, I
something about it having it confirmed that just makes you think, okay, so I've got to kind of see the positive in this, and it didn't take me long.
Mm. You know what it is for me? I think it's I've mentioned this before a couple of weeks ago when we spoke about it. I think it's knowing that the creators have got faith in him, knowing that they've put him through his paces at in the audition. They've seen precisely what they want from him. They've seen the range. They've seen his ability to switch between comedic and dramatic and what he can bring to that. It's not about just looking like the guy or moving like the guy or having the right haircut. There's a lot of other things you and I will never appreciate because we're not in that line of work. But
no, totally not. Yeah.
So I think what you're saying is completely right, that once they greenlit that, I mean, let's be clear. No one at Star Wars has said this yet. It's come out through Variety and Deadline.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
But it's not confirmed as such.
Well, what we're being told, I was listening to Now This Is Podcasting, which is the official podcast of MakingStarWars.net.
Oh, yes, I'm familiar with it. Yeah.
They were talking about it over there, and obviously whatever these guys say is rock solid. And they were saying as soon as Variety and Deadline say something, you can take it to the bank.
Yeah, it's pretty much nailed down.
Yeah, because the minute they make a mistake, they lose their credibility, and they're so closely tied to the industry that they wouldn't go to print with these things unless they absolutely know. So
yes,
but this is the way though with Gareth Edwards being brought into the fold, with Rian Johnson being brought into the fold, Felicity Jones casting, all of that stuff was confirmed through these channels before it's actually made public. If you go to StarWars.com and look up Rogue One, there's a pitiful amount of stuff on there.
Yeah.
And think about what we know and what we know for sure. I don't think there's a casting announcement on there saying that Diego Luna or Forrest Whitaker are in the...
Yeah.
You know, there's those things, but we've seen them.
Yeah.
So we know that it's true.
Yeah, hell of a fake out if it's not them. Wouldn't it? Yeah.
Really elaborate.
Yeah, we've gone so, you know, we're so determined to pull the wool over your eyes that actually Forrest Whitaker has been replaced by Morgan Freeman in the whole film. Deal with it.
But just as a narrator.
Yeah, it's just there's no character, no character anymore, no corporeal form. It's all voiceover. Right, moving on. So we have we had a question from Ads Hillier last week, right? There were two parts to it.
Yes, we did, yeah.
Did you want to go through the second part here?
Yeah, let's do it, yeah.
Okay, so second part of Ad Healy's question from last week. Maz doesn't appear to recognize Rey straight away, but does perhaps sense her importance when they first meet, cryptically asking Han, who's the girl, like she suspects. Then she tells Rey that the lightsaber was Luke's, quite matter-of-factly, as if he's an old acquaintance, so you wonder what Han said in reply. Good point. She knows who left her on Jakku, and I don't think it was Luke, as Maz said they're not coming back, but implies that there's someone who still could, meaning Luke is her future. Then as Rey refuses to take the lightsaber and runs away, Maz reacts automatically, starting to say something that sounds like maybe then he, but stops herself continuing. I wonder what she was about to say.
Hmm.
Did you want to break that one down?
Yeah. So let's look at this objectively. Do we think, I suppose the bottom line is, do we think Maz knows who Rey is when she turns up at the castle? Because what Ads is saying is, Maz starts to feel out Han, like, who is this girl? And then the saber or the crystal in the saber calls to Rey, and she has that experience. So then Maz realizes that there must be a connection. In your opinion, Rob, are the pieces dropping into place for Maz the more Rey stays there? And is she starting to realize who this kid is?
I think to a point, yeah. I mean, definitely, there's definitely a sense to me that the answer to Han, to the question from Han, is key, because it cuts away instantly as she asks the question, and that happens a couple of times throughout the film, because the same thing happens with Kylo Ren.
Do you Do you care to speculate what his response might be?
I think there's definitely a sense that he knows more about her than he's willing to let on.
Mm-hmm.
Because when she's in the Falcon cockpit on the way to Maz's castle, there's a look that he gives her, which sort of says, you know, there's sympathy there, but there's a much more profound sympathy than just, oh, that must suck. When she's talking about being on, you know, waiting for her family and that sort of thing. There's definitely a sense that he knows what's happened there. So whether he knows her family or something like that, I wouldn't be sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be Luke to be somebody he knows, you know. But I think there's definitely a sense that he knows where she comes from, or he has an idea of where she comes from. So he's probably told her what he thinks.
Okay. Well, what if Maz is in possession of more knowledge than we're giving her credit for? Because as Ads is implying in his question, it seems to be that she starts to be suspicious. She doesn't recognise her straight away, but perhaps she begins to sense her importance when they meet. When Maz asks who's the girl, what if Han is as on the outside of this as we are, and he just says, just some kid from Jakku.
Okay.
And that's the piece that drops into place for Maz. Because if she's got more information, and if we're right in any way, I mean, I've been barking up this tree for a while now that she's a child of the Force and she was left on Jakku, potentially by the Church of the Force, and was being watched over by Lor San Tekka.
Yeah.
If Maz was privy to that information, perhaps Han just saying she's just a kid from Jakku is enough for the penny to drop.
Yeah, maybe.
And that's the missing piece. That's the information she gets.
Yeah.
But if Han had said, "Oh, she's my niece from Naboo," she might have gone, "Oh, well, whatever." I thought, but that hearing that she's from Jakku is, oh yes, of course, that's right.
Yeah.
And then with the crystal calling out to her, and her having that vision in the Force, she realizes that this girl has taken a few tentative steps down her path.
Yeah.
And now she needs to sort of push her along, which is what all that talk is about.
Knowing the Force and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. You might well be on something there.
They're not coming back. And she says, the belonging you seek is not behind you, it's in front of you.
Yeah.
So she's very much sort of trying to usher her down onto the hero's journey, isn't she? She's trying to ease her along. Perhaps she knows. I mean, the first part of Ad's question last week was about the lightsaber and how it got to be at Maz's castle. And I suspect that not only the lightsaber got to Maz, but some understanding of what the situation is got to her.
Yeah, I think you're probably right there.
And perhaps that's the reveal. We know Maz plays a big part in Episode 8, or at least she plays a part in Episode 8.
Yes.
So this stuff can all come out in that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think you're probably right there. So last bit of the question. What do you think she's about to say?
I don't know. I went back and watched this the other day just to...
Yeah.
It looks like she's going to say, then he... That's all I can hear now.
I remember thinking at the time, especially because I went to see it at the pictures four times when it was out in the cinemas in the space of about a week. So I got really kind of in depth on some of the pieces. She definitely is about to start another sentence that's quite important.
Yeah.
I didn't hear it as then he. I heard it as just he.
Right. I'll play it.
Yeah.
With the subtitles on, but I'll play it with the volume down so we don't listen. Right, just trying to get it in the right place. Okay, I'm never touching that thing again. I don't want any part of this. Nothing. They didn't subtitle it.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's like that exchange between Bill Murray and Scarlett Johansson at the end of Lost in Translation, isn't it? I thought I was being so smug. I'll know what they say. I'll just put it and it come up inaudible. Typical. Yeah, I don't know. It could be then he... it could be that she's going to drop some serious knowledge on Rey before she runs off. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Or will be revealed.
I think there's definitely something... There was about to be something coming had she not run off.
Yeah.
There was definitely more dialogue coming. But who's to say? It's difficult because, you know... I can't remember the wording of what she says just before that.
Mm.
What was it? What does she? Because you've seen it more recently than I have. What does she say in the background? Before, what, sorry, in the moments preceding that moment.
I shall tell you in full. Hang on.
All right. Cool. Cool.
Let's just go back. Okay, so just now we're just at the scene where there's little Ray shouting, come back.
Yep.
So big Ray's about to tumble out of a force vision.
Okay.
And then I will narrate the whole thing to you, Morgan Freeman style.
So I even love nice little... the sound of your voice.
These are your first steps.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So they put that bit in.
Yep. So Ray says, what was that?
Yep.
I shouldn't have gone in there. And then Maz says, the lightsaber was Luke's and his father before him, and now it calls to you.
Yeah.
I have to get back to Jakku. Han told me. So they've obviously had that conversation. So Han's explained everything. She reaches
you're
out and takes her hand.
Lord, it is.
Yeah, this must be
maybe
thrilling. Dear child, I see your eyes. You already know the truth. Whomever you're waiting for on Jakku, they're not coming back.
Yeah.
And that's when Ray starts to cry.
Yeah.
Oh, Daisy Ridley breaks my heart every time I see her.
Yeah.
But there's someone who still could.
Yeah.
And Ray realizes she means Luke. The belonging you seek is not behind you. It's ahead.
Yep.
I'm no Jedi, but I know the Force.
Mm-hmm.
It moves through and surrounds every living thing.
Mm-hmm.
Close your eyes. Feel it. The light. It's always been there.
Mm-hmm.
It will guide you.
Okay.
The saber. Take it. And that's when Rey is revolted. I'm never touching that thing again. I don't want any part of this. And she runs off.
Okay.
So we don't get that last piece of dialogue.
Yeah.
Don't get that broken down for us.
So maybe it's something like, then he can never teach you, or then he will never, then he's never coming back, or something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's that sort of thing.
I'm getting echoes of Return of the Jedi when Yoda says to Luke, you have to face Vader.
Vader again. Yeah.
And he says, I can't. Was it actually, it might be Obi-Wan where he says, then the Emperor's already won.
Yeah, that's Obi-Wan's line, because Yoda's line is, you must face Vader again. And then Obi-Wan later on says, then the Emperor's already won.
Yeah. So it could be something similar to that where Maz is trying to force Rey onto a path.
Yeah.
And that clip that adds is saying, then he could be, then he's lost forever.
Yeah, I think something like that seems most plausible out of all the options we've got, because we've got the entire scope of the English language ahead of us. But I think of that, you know, of the options, I think then he's never coming back is something might be something along those lines.
Yeah,
but I'm absolutely with him. I definitely remember hearing, was she about to start a new sentence and it's just been cut off? But awesome.
Well, interesting. That's,
very interesting, and I think we'll hopefully find out more about that with Maz's new role in episode 8, which I still maintain is going to be a introduction to her new digs and a bit of exposition.
Yeah, well, we'll find out in no time.
Yeah, well, it'd be only a year and a bit away.
500 and something days and change.
Yeah, that sounds right.
That'll do.
Tumbling Saber's got a better handle on those numbers.
They do, don't
they? I'll give them that.
They work too hard.
Quite clearly. Right, so next we're moving on to Connor Corner, featuring Leo this time.
Yeah, I gave him hard time last week because I said Steve and I were declaring our love for Connor with how much he contributes to the show. And Steve said, oh, and Leo. I said, no, I like Leo because he hasn't made any effort himself. Well, seeing as this question is signed from both, I can now officially confirm he gets my love.
Yeah, and he's also definitely heard this.
Yeah.
All right, so moving to their question. Good day, gents. Good day.
Good day.
This week's topic is everyone's favourite Nerf herder. Okay, excellent. With the casting of the young Solo confirmed, I've drawn up a checklist of things we as fans can't wait to see, so here goes. Strap yourselves in, we're about to make the jump to light speed. Number one, Han winning the Falcon from a young Lando in a game of Sabacc. Number two, young Chewie and Han first meet up, where the concept of the life debt will be explained.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, the Falcon making the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs. Number four, working for Jabba and then dumping the shipment at the first sight of the Imperial cruiser. Even he gets boarded sometimes. Do you think he had a choice? Which I think he's gone on to say, I think the Falcon was in a sector of space where a certain space station was being built, gave us a nice callback to Rogue One. Oh, I like that. I really like that. Depending on timeline, of course. So, yeah, that's reasonable, actually. But, I mean, we know from the end of Episode 3 they're building it, don't we?
Yeah.
Slow progress for that one, for first one. It's 18 years.
Yeah, it's all been done surreptitiously, though, isn't it? And
yeah,
we know from the Clone Wars series that Palpatine was having to do an awful lot of backdoor dealings to get the money in place to finance this thing. So
So number five, the rise of the ragtag rebels taking on this new empire. Okay, it's not really. I don't know if I'd go for that one for a Han Solo movie, but I'd quite happily watch it. Number six, this Vader thing that he's heard mention of, and he's kind of speculated on the kind of dialogue that Han might deliver, which is, come on, a guy who can kill you just by thinking about it, that's just a myth. This is something I can hear him saying in some outer rim spaceport or cantina, Mos Eisley or Maz's. He's been there before, we know that much.
Mm.
All right, so let's go through them piece by piece.
Let's do that.
Would you want to see Han winning the Millennium Falcon in the Han Solo movie?
Yes, I would like to see it. I don't think we're going to.
Okay.
Because I think it will take up too much time.
Actually, that's a better question, isn't it? Because we know we want to see all these things, so let's just go with how likely they are.
Yes, yeah.
All right, so you say Han winning the Falcon is pretty unlikely.
I think it's unlikely because of how time-consuming it will be.
Yeah, I think you might be right. I mean, it might pop in near the end as like a sort of he sits down at the table and the game begins or something like that.
Well, you saw that photo of the DL-44 blaster last week.
Yes.
Kyle at Tumbling Saver and I were talking about that, and
mm-hmm.
I think we settled on the fact that that was probably resting on a console of the Falcon.
Oh, okay.
So I suspect that Han's probably got the Falcon.
Yeah.
And if I'm honest, I don't see a Han Solo movie being accepted if he isn't in the Falcon from the get-go.
Okay.
I would think that if we met him and he wasn't, almost as if he wasn't fully formed, I think we'd be disappointed.
Yeah.
So I suspect that the Falcon's probably already in place. I like the idea of Lando being in there, and you could sort of get that gentle sort of ribbing about the ship. And it reframes Billy Dee's line in Empire as being a lifelong, because it made it sound like, what have you done to my ship? It makes it sound like Han's only just won it in Empire, but it could be that he won it from him sort of 10 or 15 years ago, and it's just this ongoing joke between them. But that's still mine, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
So I want to see that story. Perhaps Claudia Gray could write it for me, but I don't think we'll see it in this movie.
Yeah, I think you might be right there. I'd be inclined to say that's probably going to... I mean, if you think about... You've seen Casino Royale, right?
Yes.
Bond movie.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, of course.
So that card game takes a long time to clear.
Yeah.
From through the story. And obviously, Sabacc is a game that we've never seen played in Star Wars, so we'd need it explained to us as well. You know, because obviously anybody who's read the books and read the comics and played the video games might be familiar with the rules, but we can't rely on people doing that, because as Steve so rightly pointed out last week, the difference between the movies and the books is billions versus tens of millions.
Yeah.
In terms of revenue and, you know, in terms of readers, it's millions versus tens of millions.
Yes.
It's, you know, there's no possible way they're going to rely on people to know the rules of Sabacc going in, because it's such a weird game anyway. Yeah. Even by Star Wars standards, it's very complicated, and lots of people have to have it explained to them. Like you've read a fair bit of Bloodline, right?
Yes, yeah.
So there's a bit in the beginning where she's playing
Sabacc,
and they're sort of saying, you know, well, she learned from the best in the galaxy. And so she's had to have taken training from somebody quite handy in order to know what she's doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's definitely too complicated, too complex to into the film.
It's the minutiae of a Star Wars story that works in one medium but doesn't in the other. Star Wars cinema is fast and intense, to coin George's favourite directorial phrase.
Yeah.
And sitting down to play cards, it's not really in the spirit. I mean, if they wanted to do the Indiana Jones style storytelling where we drop into this movie at the end of a previous story, and that previous story is Han winning that from Lando, then fine. That works as almost like a pre-credits, you know, like you mentioned Casino Royale, him getting his 00 status. That's a very interesting.
That's true. Yeah, thing. That's a good example.
But then you've got a Han Solo that has just got a new ship.
Yeah.
And I like the idea that Han spent so much time with the Falcon, tinkering with the Falcon, fine-tuning it, that him and the ship are almost one.
Yeah.
And I'd rather see Han with a ship that he knows like the back of his hand than a new thing that he's got to try and get used to. I want the swagger, cocky Han Solo, not someone that's trying to settle in or break in a new pair of shoes, you know?
He might. I mean, we could get a Han who's a bit of bravado and gradually kind of warming and gradually kind of coming into that character. I think that would be acceptable. But he'd have to still have the swagger, even if he's not backing it up just yet.
Yeah,
I think any other way of doing it would just be wrong. Just
something that is missing from Connor's list here is something I would like to see, which is the reversal of the Han Solo archetype, which is. We've seen him as the swaggering, cool pilot in amongst all of these upstart rebels.
Yeah.
What was it like? His world must have been upside down when he was mixing with the Hutts and the bounty hunters, because he's this virtuous man.
Yeah.
Moving in some pretty dark, seedy circles.
So yeah, it's true.
That would be an interesting character study for me, to know that this guy's really a hero.
Yeah.
And I mentioned this a little while ago. I don't remember if it was on last week's show or if it was something I'd written on the site, but I like the idea that Han, he was shipping something for Jabba the Hutt, right?
Spice, I think.
Was it spice?
I think that's usually in the Star Wars universe, although, again, it's, you know.
It was referred to as a shipment in A New Hope, right? They weren't explicit about what it was.
It doesn't say what it is. No.
What if that was people?
Oh, blimey. Okay.
What if Jabba is involved in the illegal movement of people?
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
And if it's slaves for the Empire to build their war machine.
Oh, blimey, that would be
So you see what I mean, where you've got Han working for, you know, he's obviously valuable to Jabba and the crime lords because he's fast. He's a skilled, bold pilot.
Yeah.
But he never really, I don't see him fitting into that world very much. So I'd be very interested in seeing a Han Solo who could be told by Jabba, you get this shipment from A to B and I'll pay you all this money. Yeah. And when Han's shipping it, he realises, absolutely.
This is
human trafficking.
I was going to say before, I like this, and even before, I was going to say what would be really cool is if he deliberately chucked out the shipment of whatever it was.
Yeah.
You know, whatever the cargo is, he chucked it out on purpose because it's not, you know, he realizes it's not him.
It's a nice way to pay into it, or to play into existing canon as well. When they take the Millennium Falcon onto the Death Star in A New Hope, they say several of the escape pods have been jettisoned.
Yeah.
So what if Han realizes the shipment is people and he piles them all into the escape pods, frees them, and then he realizes now he's on the run for the rest of his life? And we've just had a little nod in A New Hope to the fact that the Falcon's got fewer escape pods than it should have, because Han's freed a bunch of people that he was human trafficking for the Hutts.
Oh, that's great.
See, that works because it pays into the fact I want to see Han at odds with his environment in this film. Because We going in, we know he survives, which is a weakness for the storytelling, and we know he's a virtuous man, which is also a weakness for the storytelling, unless you lean on those elements.
Yes.
So we know he's going to get out of it, but we want to see him get out of it by the skin of his teeth. That's why Indiana Jones works.
Yes.
So I want to see him, I want to see this virtuous man who has deliberately lowered himself into this underworld, and then when he comes up against it, he can't handle it. That would be an interesting angle.
Yeah, especially when it's, what's the word? It's outside of his comfort zone even more than he already is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. It's a bit, I mean, I'm not discounting anything that Connor's put in here because
of course.
I want to see the Kessel Run. I'd like to see the Kessel Run. But again, it's the minutiae that might work better in a book.
Yes.
And I think Claudia Gray should write all of them, all of the books.
Fine. There's a few authors I'd happily read from, and she's definitely one of them.
But when you think of the stakes that you can introduce into a story where you give Han those sorts of challenges compared to watching him do the Kessel Run, I would rather see him struggle with what I've just, my idea I've just laid out, than see him run a race around some black holes. And
That'd be cool.
The Rebel thing, just to jump, because we said, like, obviously, question four, or point number four, just pays into what I was just saying, doesn't it, about working for Jabba and stuff. But number five, I'd rather we didn't brush up. I think in the notes later on, I think I've actually put in there, can a Han Solo movie work without the Empire and without the Skywalker story? And I think it will work better if we try and keep them as far away from it as possible.
I think Han Solo is a strong enough character to separate it out without any issue. Right, so interestingly enough, actually, we've just kind of gone off on a side point around these points. Number two syncs up quite nicely with your idea. If Chewbacca is one of the cargo.
Yeah, true.
As we know in Legends, he frees him from Imperial slavery, isn't he?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
So he could still be in that position, just not having got there yet, as it were. He's, you know, he's Imperial slave in the sense that he's already been bought and paid for.
Yeah.
But
the only thing that worries me is the timeline. If this is 10 years before A New Hope, then fine. That means Han and Chewie have had 10 years together when they meet Luke and Obi-Wan. If it's only a few years, then I don't know if they've had long enough to really become that bonded pair that we see.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. The one I definitely don't want to see, right?
Yeah, go on.
Number three. I want that to be something we never see evidence of.
Yeah.
But number three, so for those who've lost track, is the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs, if you were the 12 parsecs. I never want to see it. I want it to stay a story that he tells people that's never necessarily proven to be true or false.
Yeah. It's also one of those things now that it's almost got a myth of its own now, this whole thing, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Where people say, well, parsecs are measure a unit of distance and not a unit of time and things like that.
And then people have to explain that the Kessel Run is a series of black holes and the parsecs are the distance, the shorter distance you get, the closer you've skimmed to the black holes and the closer you've come to oblivion, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But
a retcon?
Yeah, I love that Star Wars fans are willing to go with that because
it does work.
It is a fantastic explanation.
And
it
plays into the Han Solo, his sort of nature. It plays into that, doesn't it? That this guy's, he's a braggart and he's cocksure and he would do something like that in order to win.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, he wants to land that deal because it's already, I think, worth 10, isn't it, at that point? He hasn't told him what the price is going to be.
Yeah.
But in his mind, it's 10 or take it or leave it, you know.
Yeah.
So he knows if he gets his way, he's going to get 10. And if he doesn't get his way, no harm, no foul, he's going to move on. So I think, like I say, I want it to stay always just in myth.
Yeah.
I never want it to even be tried or even, you know, seen happening. Mm. I want it to be just something that we've heard about in two films now, but never see any evidence either way, because I think it makes it more entertaining that it never gets resolved.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Yeah, I'll agree with that. I think that's.
I like Connor's point about number six, though.
Yeah.
The idea of him just scoffing about a mythical bloke who can choke people by looking at him. I like the idea that he's kind of a bit, you know, ah, oh, come on, you don't believe that crap, do you?
Yeah. I mean, that would be good as well, because that's a way to just nod to the existing canon.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a nice way to sort of frame the Empire as this distant thing. When you're in the Outer Rim working for gangsters, the Empire must seem a million miles away.
Okay.
So that, yeah, I do like that.
Yeah.
But without, I don't want to see him. I don't want to see him cross paths with rebels. I don't want to see him. I really don't want to see him rock up in Rogue One. I think that
I don't
would
want
be
to see
mistake.
Him turn up anywhere then, close to the rebels. I want that to be. I want Episode 4 to be his first dealing with anything close to the rebellion. He might have heard of it. He might have, you know, encountered somebody who then goes on to deal with them. But I don't want him to be anywhere near that story.
No.
Until the time is right.
Exactly.
And again, that seems like one that I think they'll steer clear of, just because it's too much like risking kind of fan dissatisfaction with like, oh, come on, just shoehorning everything in.
Yeah.
Like we were saying about Snoke being in the tank. It's like, oh, you know, we've had him 5 minutes and we already want to play with him everywhere. You know.
Yeah. They don't need to prop each other up so much. I think the idea of these standalone films is that they stand alone, and that's you know. Pablo Hidalgo confirmed that that's not Snoke, didn't he? He said that Snoke's nowhere near it. And then MakingStarWars.net last week ran with a story that said that that is, in fact, Anakin in that back to tank.
Yes, I've heard this. And I'm actually, I think that was what I was speculating.
Yes, it was, yeah. From the very start.
Yeah, well, there you go. So we'll see if I'm right, because I still don't know for sure.
Yeah, no, and I'm on board with that as well. I've got my juices flowing. I like that.
Yeah.
Good questions, Connor and Leo.
Yeah, brilliant.
Thank you both very much.
Yeah, they sign off with, as usual, I look forward to hearing your thoughts on these. So hopefully they've lived up to your expectations. May the Force be with you. Still loving the show and the ever-growing listener questions section. Well, you're a big part of that, Connor.
Yeah, we're an hour into that.
Absolutely. May the Force be with you, Connor and Leo, and also with you.
Yes, thank you, Connor and Leo.
Awesome. Right, Mark.
Some Star Wars news.
Let's do it.
To take us out of this. We have got a few juicy bits and pieces. Starting with Star Wars Celebration. I'm so excited because I'm going to be there. Right, July the 13th, otherwise known as my birthday eve.
Awesome.
There will be a Rogue One panel at Star Wars Celebration.
July 13th or 15th?
That's the 15th.
15th.
It's the 15th, 16th and 17th. And this is day
You're
one.
There.
I'm there
You're
for
there on your
three
birthday,
days.
Day two.
Yes, indeed.
Nice.
Yeah, so anybody, I have already sort of let a few of our listeners know that I'm going to be there, and we're sort of talking about doing a meet-up, which could be, well, will be very interesting to see how that goes. But day one, hopefully Steve and I will get into this, Kathleen Kennedy and Gareth Edwards will be doing a Rogue One, a Star Wars story panel.
Nice.
Don't know what
that
to expect.
Awesome.
Very excited. I hope there'll be some costumes. I think I'm trying to think back to last year's celebration. They did. They had sort of costumes in there and props.
Yeah.
In there, we got a first good look at Kylo's lightsaber.
Nice.
We got a look at Rey's costume and Finn's jacket and things like that. So, hopefully, there'll be plenty of that. Here for us, but I'm really interested to see whether or not there'll be. Interested to see whether or not there'll be some exclusive trailer footage.
Yes, maybe quite possibly. I look forward to finding it 5 minutes later on YouTube.
Yeah, you'll find it 5 minutes later on YouTube. And I'm hoping, I've been promising this, but it does depend on the internet connection. I will definitely try to do Periscopes, Instagram videos. I'm going to take podcasting kit, and I'm going to hope to do a podcast every night with the guys I'm with, so we can put a little bit out every day to bring everybody up to speed. And then I'll take some video as well. So there'll be some YouTube stuff. I'm going to work really hard at this. Don't worry.
Awesome. Well, you work really hard at everything, Mark.
It will feel like you're there. Hopefully.
Well, I hope so, because I'm not there, and the more I hear about it, the more it's making me sad.
I think you can still get single day passes. I think they opened some more up. So,
did they? I'll have to look into that.
So if you can get up well on a Saturday, that'll be fun.
Well, I've got a train ticket already for work, so
cool.
Yeah.
Okay, that's right. Star Wars, that's all there is from Star Wars Celebration, but there's some Force Awakens stuff.
Yes.
The guys on Tumbling Saber did kind of cover this week, so we'll just touch on it briefly because I don't want to cannibalise each other's content too much.
Fair enough.
Mark Hamill confirmed last week that The Force Awakens was originally supposed to open with the hand floating through space, clutching a saber, which lands on Jakku. I corrected myself last time we spoke about this.
Okay.
And I wasn't sure that it was Jakku, but that's what Mark's saying, that it did land on Jakku.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a horrible... Yeah,
it's rubbish. It really is bad. It's a
horrible start. That's not
it's
good.
Hokey as all hell. It's awful. It's just, you know, I don't want to rag on it too much, but I'm really glad that
it was whoever wise. Decided...
Yeah, I think it's very wise to not go down that route because that just sounds corny.
Yes, it really does.
And I would have just laughed at it.
Yeah. When it first leaked, I think I heard it on, I don't know, was it Rebel Force Radio? I can't remember, but I heard it on a podcast that this is what was in the offing. And I thought, that is horrible. But whose lightsaber are we talking about? Why is it in space with a hand? It's got to be Vader's.
Yeah. Right.
Because Luke's, if anything, would have fallen towards the surface of Bespin.
Well, Bespin's a gas giant, so it would have been... Yeah, I don't know what would have... I don't know enough about planetary science to tell you what would have happened there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm
not... Or he stayed in orbit, formed one of his rings.
Yes, I don't know.
Who knows?
So, I like the idea that there was a chance that it could have been Vader's hand.
Yeah.
From the Death Star. But I've built my own theories around Vader's lightsaber now, which are looking more and more promising. Did you read all of that?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. This bloodline has brought, I don't want to spoil anything for you, but it's brought me so close on a couple of occasions to thinking, oh my God, they're going to confirm my theory.
Really? Okay, interesting.
We're right there. Or not confirm it, but I need to
allude to it.
The perfect weapon, that short story, which
combined with that
is named the perfect weapon for a reason, I think.
Yes.
The only thing standing in the way of me being absolutely positive that that's Vader's lightsaber is the slim chance that that's the Darth Vader helmet and mask.
And okay.
I don't believe it is the helmet and mask because of the way...
Oh, you mean in the box?
In the box that she...
The way they described the box doesn't sound big enough.
No, it doesn't sound big enough. It sounds big enough for a lightsaber, not for his helmet.
I have to reread it, but...
Yeah, it's a fantastic story. I'm going to reread
it's
that
good.
Again.
It's short but sweet, definitely.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's that. So, Mark confirmed that lightsaber thing. I'm glad it didn't happen. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, really glad. Yeah, it's over the, you know.
Over the top. All right, no Star Wars story news this week, unfortunately, or nothing worth reporting on anyway.
Yeah, you guys sort of talked about Mads Mikkelsen, who just will not. He doesn't know when to stop, does he?
No, he really needs to just stop himself, doesn't he?
Mm.
But there's some Episode 8 stuff. So Pablo Hidalgo, I missed this. I don't know how I missed this, but...
I missed this too.
Pablo Hidalgo came out and confirmed that Plagueis is dead.
Okay.
And Snoke is his own character.
Wow, that is pretty big.
That's huge news.
Yeah, for sure. That puts a lot of the fan theories to bed.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because there's a subreddit called Star Wars Speculation, which is just all the, you know, crazy theories and little bits and bobs. They range from the sort of 100 words to the full essays.
Yeah.
And so there's some fantastic stuff on there. Like even somebody wrote a storyline of how they would have done the prequels and it sounded fantastic. You know, the storyline, the points they would have touched on and how they would have done the Clone Wars stuff and worked that in just sounded amazing. I would have loved to see it made into a TV show or a film or something. It just sounded brilliant. But they were really on board with the Plagueis thing. So I haven't actually been on to see if they've adjusted since then or whether they're still just going, misdirection.
Yeah, I mean, it could be misdirection. I really don't think that it is because I think that's something that Lucasfilm desperately want to stay away from now. I don't think they want to lie to anybody, mislead anybody.
Yeah.
They want to be completely above board with everyone.
Yeah.
Which they should be as well because we're all in this thing together. But
absolutely.
You saying about the episode that about how the prequels would have been done, I watched a series of videos at the weekend.
Oh, yeah, I saw you put them up on the playlist on YouTube, right?
Belated Media. Oh, so good.
Yes.
So good. It was about 45 minutes worth of video in the end.
Yeah.
What If Star Wars Episode 1, 2, and 3 were good? And this guy has got... he should be on here with us because he has got some wild ideas. And they all work so well. Yeah, I think he's got his own thing pretty much now.
Well, we're becoming a bigger deal, Mark. You have to be prepared for this.
Yeah, bigger than Wicket's jockstrap. That's how big we are.
Exactly. He has got... And he packs a wallop.
He's definitely going to win in that arena.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so that's from Pablo anyway. So thanks for confirming that, Pablo, but please answer my tweet about Darth Vader's lightsaber. Thank you. Please and thank you. There is a rumour.
Okay.
Kylo Ren arrives at Arc 2 alone to meet Luke and Rey.
Okay.
During the... Oh, I really like... Okay, I think I should... Before I go on, let me just say, if this... is true, it's probably going to be a little bit spoilery, so if you're sensitive, jump forward 30 seconds. This rumour is that Kylo Ren will arrive on Arc 2 alone to meet Luke and Rey, and they sit down and have a conversation. During the conversation, Luke dislikes something that's said between Kylo Ren and Rey and uses the Force to destroy the hut that they're sitting in.
Ooh.
In a Starkiller style...
Moment of madness.
Yeah, in a Galen... Yeah. Merrick style.
Interesting.
Force Unleashed explosion. Wow.
Intriguing. I don't know how much I'd swing with it because it changes a lot of the dynamics that we've already had set up. Like, Rey and Kylo Ren are already sort of trying to kill each other.
Mm-hmm.
It strikes me as odd that he'd be able to get that far without a fight.
Yeah.
If it's true, it sounds really interesting because it explores a certain depth of Luke's character that we would otherwise have thought. I mean, we've been saying for the last couple of shows that we think Luke's passed his test and he's definitely 100% light, but maybe there is a bit of impulse, in his character that makes him a bit quick-tempered, and especially if he's been on his own for so long.
Yeah.
He's going to lack a lot of the social graces, and that could make for some really fun early comic relief, because Mark Hamill's a very funny guy.
Very funny.
I could very easily see them kind of, that first intro sequence is a bit, he doesn't really know how to talk to people because he's not spoken to anybody for quite a while.
So do you think he might just blow a giant raspberry at her or something?
That could be entertaining.
Like the Phantom Raspberry Blur of old Uck to Town.
Does seem to be a bit Phantom Menace-y, but...
Are you suggesting they might play the same notes they did with Yoda when Luke arrived on Dagobah? That Yoda had lost all of those refined graces that he had in the prequel era, and he was like this impish sort of...
Yeah.
And a lot of that was done to disguise who he was, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it's less likely to be impish, kind of fun-loving stuff, and a bit more dark and like I say, a bit more... What's
cranky.
The word without... Yeah, a bit more cranky and a bit more.
Now at this point,
not familiar with human grace. No, not as familiar with his social graces as he has been in the past.
Yeah, at this point, I think this is what's really fascinating to me now is how my perspective is shifting just through consuming most of
ideas.
A new piece of media. This Bloodline reframes a lot. I'm going to have to, as soon as I finish it, I think I'm going to watch Force Awakens again because.
Okay.
I'm learning, and I don't want to spoil too much for you because I know you're not into it. And if you're listening and you haven't read any of Bloodline, then again, you might want to jump forward another 30 seconds. Yeah. But Luke's only been on Arc 2 for 6 years.
Yes. So that's the impression I got from how far I'd read so far was I got the impression that because early on in the thing, she says she hasn't heard from Ben and Luke in a while and they've gone off together. And I wondered if maybe she just... even if it's been a little while since he's fallen, that she just learns about it suddenly because it's all been a bit quiet.
Hmm.
So it does strike me that it's not been long. It did occur to me that it hadn't been long.
Yeah. But when I first saw The Force Awakens, it could have been like 15, 16 years. I was thinking Rey's age.
Yeah.
So we can shave a decade off of that straight away, and it surreal. Makes him a little bit more reliable, almost, as in he's probably not a complete crank.
No.
And that look might mean that look means something else. I don't know. But it's really interesting.
And it does suggest that actually they're right that it's not Luke who leaves Rey on Uktu.
Yeah, I'm definitely getting that impression. I think there are going to be elements revealed. I already know something from a part of the book that I read this morning.
Okay.
I already know something, and I've been highlighting passages as yes. I've been going and bookmarking okay. them, so I can go back at the end and yeah. I can compile all of these little elements that link together and write something mm-hmm. up. I'm not going to try yeah, and review okay. the book. I don't think I possess those skills, but I'm okay. going to look at these elements that I've lifted and try yeah. and form a picture from those little extracts of a certain element of this, a very important element of this story. But the bit I read this morning, and yeah. she did it so beautifully because she introduced the idea of what was about to happen and then mm-hmm. wrote around it. And I thought that was okay. great because she's kept it private. This book's fantastic. That's the bottom line.
It really is good from what I've read.
Really very, very good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm with you. I don't know where this was from the Inquisitor. Okay. I don't know how much of a new Luke I want to get, but, yeah, blowing up that little hut, maybe, maybe not. And Kylo, the thing that shocked me about this news is when I thought of Kylo, I thought Luke and Rey might have some time on their own to train. And then yep. the idea was that they'd go out quietly and do yep. whatever they need to do under the radar of the First Order.
That was my feeling too.
This is suggesting that Kylo might just casually walk up and go, all right, time for a little chat.
Yeah. It'd be interesting because let's assume for a second that the theory's true, right? So yeah. this rumor's true. It would suggest that the first thing that jumps into my head is Kylo Ren is basically going to kind of convince her not to train under Luke and to train under him instead, because he's already tried to make that jump in the yeah. end of Force Awakens. And that moment, if it happens, could be a nice way of saying, do you really know everything about this guy? You know, yeah. he's a lot darker than you think,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's not as clear cut as you're going to learn the light side of the Force from this guy
yeah.
because he's brushed with the dark side before. That could be really interesting.
That could be interesting. But the other thing as well could be that if Kylo goes really to see Luke
yeah,
and says, I killed Han and I thought it was going to make me stronger, but it's made me weaker. I don't know what I've done.
Yeah.
Can you help me? That would be interesting. Really interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. All bets are off at this point. The characters are so deep and so complex. It could go yeah. any way, couldn't it?
Totally.
Okay. Right, moving on to some more Episode 8 news.
Right.
Oh, this I did not like. Tom Hardy to have a cameo in Star Wars Episode okay. 8.
Right.
Now, don't get me wrong, I love Tom Hardy. And
yep.
he's welcome in Star Wars. I'd want him centre stage, give him his own movie for all I care. I
yeah.
think he's fantastic, but I do not like this description.
Okay.
And let's go through this, right? So...
Right.
This is all from MakingStarWars.net, just to give them the credit for the hard work.
Yep.
Tom Hardy plays a First Order stormtrooper in Episode 8.
Okay.
This is all still rumour. I mean, it was confirmed this week that he's in it.
Yep.
But this stuff is all speculation at the moment.
Yep.
Said stormtrooper glimpses Finn, or FN2187, on a secret mission, but doesn't realise it. The incognito, in inverted commas, FN2187 is surprised when a stormtrooper walks up behind him and slaps him on the arse. And now I imagine right, okay. that's a little bit jocular, like football players, and a lot yep. less sex-pesty than that makes it sound.
I would imagine, yes.
FN2187 turns around and believes he's dead. He's surely okay. going to be captured. But the stormtrooper is elated to see his old friend from back during the First Order Academy days.
Okay.
And the stormtrooper, again Tom Hardy's character, congratulates FN2187 on his promotion to Resistance Infiltrator and Spy. FN2187 okay. is free to go about his business to his amazement. Ooh.
Yeah.
All of that sounds crap. I'm not feeling that at all.
I'd rather have him in as Bane than here that didn't see that scene play out.
Oh, I was already a man.
Your theatricality and deception. Oh, that's absolute pantaloons, isn't it? I don't look.
It doesn't sound great. It sounds a bit, again, it sounds corny. It sounds hokey. It's, you know. Yeah,
I think it might make for a really interesting deleted scene. But
yeah, it could do. But I think it just sounds corny, and it's like a sort of, oh, yeah, I see you're working for the Resistance. Are you a clever boy? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more.
So is it a way, what are they trying to achieve with that scene? Are they trying to cognitively reframe Finn for us so that we know so that we understand that he's not hunted by the First Order because they have retconned his deserting his post as, oh, he's undercover.
The only situation under which I would go with this is if the purpose of this plot is to reframe Finn in the eyes of the Resistance as, are we sure we can trust this guy? Because he did just turn up, give us all the information conveniently on a silver plate, and now we've put him in a really precarious, you know, really precarious position. Because we've speculated on how he might end up being one of Leia's kind of, you know, not goons, but it's part of her entourage, you know, working as a sort of extra muscle on one of her missions. So we could very easily see it kind of go in charge of Princess Leia. You know, are we sure we've done the right thing here? And it might make them a bit kind of hesitant to look at, you know, to trust him, and they might wash their backs a bit more and stuff. That could make for an interesting dynamic, but anything more than that just seems like comic relief for the sake of it, and it's all a bit grim.
Yeah, I think what you're saying there would leave Finn almost an island between two worlds, between his life as a stormtrooper and between his life with the Resistance, if neither of those parties trusted him fully. If I understand what you're saying correctly, he would then be left as this sort of in this no man's land in between. That would make him more interesting, but not that he's not already interesting enough, but you know, that would add another layer to that character that I would find fascinating. But this slapstick stuff.
Clever boy.
Yeah, this carry on Star Wars thing of smacking each other's bums. No, I don't. I'm not buying it. I think this is. I'm hoping this is wrong.
I've just thought of something as well that probably means it won't get made. So we know that there's a small minority of professional grievance mongers who exist on the internet to stoke up outrage wherever they see fit, no matter how tenuous.
Mm-hmm.
And it strikes me that, oh, they don't trust him, racist. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
That could very easily get them in a bit of trouble, even if they don't intend it that way, because some people will take offense at anything, no matter how trivial.
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah. I spend a lot of time reading up on this stuff, so I think about it whether I want to or not.
Yeah. Well, I'm all for Tom Hardy sliding into Star Wars, but can we find a way of using him that isn't an utter waste? Because this doesn't sound good.
I heard a rumor that he would turn up as Boba Fett, and I was all for that.
Yeah?
That'd be great for him. That's a really good, you know, really meaty part he can get stuck right into.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to need... I would be on board for that too, because I think he definitely got that dangerous kind of air about him, and he's very, very cool.
Yeah.
But they would need to do a lot of work to retroactively
make him look more like Tamura Morrison
or alter Boba Fett's path.
Yeah,
because
unless we went down the route of Boba Fett is just a title.
I like that. I do like that.
Rather than being a person, it becomes a. It was obviously a person at one point.
Yeah,
but it becomes a mantle that's taken on by somebody once they beat Paul Bateman. Yeah, once they beat the existing Boba Fett, they kind of take it on as a role. You know, it becomes like a sort of King of the Bounty Hunters kind of moniker. A
bit like Palpatine did with Plagueis, killed him and assumed his rightful place at the top of the food chain in the Sith hierarchy. So yeah,
that would work. I think that could work.
Okay, enough with episode 8. Han Solo. We have a new Han Solo. Alden Ehrenreich is Han Solo. So I know we've already spoken about a little bit of this, so we'll just go through a couple of bits here. What do you think of his, just to summarize, what do you think of his casting?
I think the more I've had it confirmed to me, the more I'm getting on board very quickly with it. And that's a sign that it's probably a good shout, really.
Yeah.
The more I see, there's loads of people who've done the kind of arduous job of finding the right photos to put alongside Harrison Ford to make him look the part. And there's plenty of evidence there that says he could be very easily shaped into that role aesthetically. We talked about mannerisms and stuff earlier, but I mean, you can learn that stuff. Because I mean, Johnny Depp learned Keith Richards for Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
That kind of, you know, what's the word? Flouncing drunk.
Yeah.
What else? I mean, you know, we've had, obviously Anthony Gruber, a favorite of ours, has picked up the Harrison Ford mannerisms in the past for a movie role. So there's no reason why it can't be done.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he's, I think Han Solo's more than just a collection of mannerisms and movements. Yes. He's slightly different in every movie. Harrison definitely layered in an evolution to that character.
Yeah.
And so we're going to see somebody that's a decade removed from who we meet in the cantina.
Yeah, totally.
So I think there's room for Alden to be able to develop something new that's cut from the same cloth. But and I certainly, going back to what we spoke about earlier, what I would like to see, I know it's on these notes here as well, that Han Solo, the inverted version of that Han Solo, the virtuous man in that underworld, would make Alden's Han very different to the others. Because when we meet him, he's on the run. He's got one foot in that world. But now we're going to see him when he's steeped in it, when he's hip deep in it. So Alden's got room to move and make his own thing. And I'm interested. I'm interested in that.
Yeah, I'll definitely. I mean, I'll be seeing it no matter what because, you know, we're fans of the genre.
Yeah, definitely on board. So a couple of these little bits, I'll just put three bullet points here. Can a Star Wars movie that focuses closely on one character and not the Empire / Dark Side work? Even Rogue One brushes up against the Empire and the Rebellion. So can a Han Solo movie hold its own with just his adventures?
Yes.
Yes, I think some of the stuff we spoke about earlier would point to that, don't you?
For no other reason than Indiana Jones is perfect evidence of how that can be done. And it's just about framing the character in an endearing way, making them likable.
Yeah.
Framing a certain, you know, having a certain quality of story and just writing a good, compelling character and a good, compelling story for them to work in. And it's also much about the characters around them as well. That helps a lot.
Yeah.
So the supporting cast is very important in that.
Yeah, they're not an island unto themselves, are they?
No.
The trio that we identify with from the original trilogy of films were only that endearing because of the way they interplayed.
Yeah.
If you had just a Leia story without anybody for it to bounce off, it would work. All those colours are only present because of the interactions on screen. Second bullet point is wish list for Han Solo stories. Well, we've covered that earlier on in the show. And will Han Solo's stepfather be involved in the story? I heard it mentioned in an audiobook. Yeah. This was an expanded universe thing.
Okay.
But Han Solo's stepfather was a big player, that he owned some sort of shipping organisation or something. And I wondered if that might creep back in. You know where we've spoken previously about some of these legends elements being pulled back in?
Yeah.
I wonder if that might make for an interesting...
Could well do.
An interesting story element.
Yeah.
Room for Mr. Ford, perhaps, to play his own father.
Maybe. That'd be interesting.
Maybe that's a step too far, I don't know.
Perhaps, but it's cute. I could see it being done. I mean, they did, Spock in the Star Trek kind of came back as himself.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they may do a similar thing where
no time travel.
Plays their own dad.
Please
no
don't,
time travel.
Please don't
no.
do any time oh, travel.
No. No, 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 no. No, that's not what I mean.
Yeah.
No, goodness, no. Oh, no, no, no.
No. Very. There's some very, some really interesting stuff in this Han Solo. Considering when the Han Solo movie was announced, I balked at it. It's one of the first things I wrote, yeah. One of the first things I wrote for, I was writing on Movie Pilot at the time before I did some stuff for the nascent Movie Geeks Film News. And one of the first things I wrote was, why on earth are we talking about doing Han Solo and Boba Fett films?
Yeah.
When you've got a character like Obi-Wan.
Who's got so much scope.
So rich. There's 20 years of this amazing stuff. And the guy's got a lightsaber, which would make him way cooler to watch on screen than any of these others. But there was talk of a Rogue Squadron movie back then as well, which I think might have become Rogue One. Maybe that was lost in translation there. But yeah, I hated the idea of a Han Solo film, and now I'm really, really warming up to it. And I can't believe that they've done that. I can't believe that they've pulled me around like that.
Well, there you go. It's the power of Star Wars.
Isn't it just?
Power of the Force.
All right, let's wrap this thing up. So we're pretty much... Is there anything you wanted to add to that Han Solo thing before we...
No, I think we've covered it. I think we've covered the main points, really. I'm really on board with your idea of having it as sort of, you know, he's doing jobs for... you know, drugs and stuff, and he's like, whatever, it's just a thing. People can do what they want with their own bodies and stuff, and then it comes to human trafficking, and he draws the line there and doesn't necessarily, you know, they've only got Han's word that he sees an Imperial cruiser.
Yeah.
And he could just be like, no, not having this.
Yeah. I might do a Star Wars Insights about it during the week.
I think you should.
Yeah, I think I'll do a bit of research and see what...
Yeah.
See if my theory is supported by what we've seen on screen in canon. And then
sounds good.
I'll put something together.
Yeah.
Righto then. Okay, well, thank you for listening to Talk Star Wars again this week. If you'd like to support what we do here, then head over to talkstarwars.co.uk/support, where you can become a TSW sponsor by giving as little as £1 per month. There's a secure PayPal sponsorship thing on the page there. So people can choose from, I think there's 3 donation levels, and they can support us for as much as a small Coke every month. Failing that, you can support us simply by liking and following us on their various social networks and start spreading the Talk Star Wars word. Rob, where can people find you between shows, old chap?
So I am on Twitter at Rob Wade Vision. That's where I'm most active. I've also got a blog where I run with a few friends called Emotionally 14. There's a website, emotionally14.com. It's emotionally14. It's got a YouTube channel associated with it. It's got a Facebook page. There are 2 really good podcasts, and hopefully there's been a bit of a gap between the most recent ones, but I'm hoping to address that in the very, very near future. So hopefully that can be fixed with, you know, before too long has elapsed. Because I'm well aware it's been a while.
Have you noticed also I've been using, been paying a bit more attention to what I've been doing on YouTube, and I've been adding little cards into the videos.
Yes, they're great, aren't they?
Yeah, really fantastic.
I only just discovered them a few months ago, but they're brilliant.
Well, I've
really versatile.
I don't know how many people out there are using YouTube, but it's really difficult to get associated websites synced up. I've had to do a lot of work. So what I've actually done is I've started piggybacking a lot of our links for our Tumblr account. And our Tumblr account is really just a slave. It just picks up everything we put on the main site. But in there now, I've got a couple of referral links. So I could get your channel, Steve's channel, into annotations on YouTube, plenty of other stuff. So I'm going to be loading a lot more really diverse stuff on there. You'll start seeing our Twitter links go on, Facebook, links to products as well. So we mentioned Claudia Gray's Bloodline, so I can have a link to that, as a link to Blu-ray, all loaded into the YouTube video. So just with a simple click, people can be whizzed out and pick things up. It's really awesome. I'm loving this YouTube thing.
Yes, like I say, it's very versatile once you get the hang of certain bits.
Yeah.
Took me a long time. And even now, I don't think I've got the full... I definitely don't have the full the full power of this fully armed and operational YouTube feature set.
You've got to work on your Palpacino for next week.
Absolutely. Consider it done.
Okay. Don't forget to leave us a nice review on iTunes. And if you haven't done so already, that is. But if you have, go back and leave us another one. Why not? More the merrier.
Why not?
Thanks again. And we will see you guys next week.
Thank you very much. Bye bye.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.